Hello and welcome to another episode of This Thing On. I am Alex Petrovich and I'm here with my co-host Joe Foster.
Hello.
Jay Gebby.
Hello.
And our fantastic guest this month, Laura Lex.
Hi.
Hello, Laura. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks, mate. How are you?
I am...
I love this bit of a podcast where you're like, we haven't just chatted for 40 minutes. Oh, look. We're walking in total silence, switched the microphone on, and then asked how each other were.
Just appeared before our eyes.
So we're back. Amazing. Alex, have you got any ailments? We can start with that.
Ailments, yeah.
You have actually got loads, haven't you? Because it's been ages since we did one.
Yeah, I'm on a back referral at the moment. Some back physio, twist of my knee. Bad ankle.
How did you twist your knee?
Because I've got a bad ankle. I kicked a ball with the bad ankle and then it ricocheted up my leg into my knee.
A ball did this to you?
Yeah. Oh, the ankle did it.
Right, yeah. So you sort of rolled it.
Yeah. So... I'm a walking catastrophe.
Were you playing football?
It was a friendly match as well, so it didn't even mean anything.
Oh, right.
No,
okay.
Football means anything. So don't worry about that.
That is a very good point. How are you both? You ailment free?
I'm not.
Uh-oh.
That's right. Went for a jog and have damaged my leg because my body is not accustomed to moving faster than it. Basically, I haven't ever tried to run, and I'm kind of getting to that age now where I'm like, yeah, you should probably do. I'm watching lots of people slowly decline who've never exercised, so I thought I'll give it a go, and now I've hurt myself. But it's not too bad. It's not too bad. I'm still smashing it.
Have you got good trainers?
No, I've got terrible trainers.
Good
trainers
are a game changer if you intend to run.
I wear Adidas, and it's not good for me. But I'm not. I don't like to think about it. I sort of like to grab whatever because the mood takes me.
Yeah.
And then it's by surprise. So I'm never prepared. And also, I don't have good trainers generally. So trainers for a specific thing is completely beyond my life skills. But hey, it's going well.
Thanks for having me on your old man podcast. Your old man body scrolling apart.
That's old man corner.
Yay!
Sponsored by Werther's Originals.
How many of your joints aren't working, Sean?
So, Laura, who's your most frustrating celebrity?
Are you a runner, Laura, or...?
I'm not a runner. I'm a gym bunny. I love going to the gym, and I have a personal trainer who I see every week. And I really love fitness, but I still don't like running. I thought I would. I thought if I got fit, then running would come with it. Turns out I just hate running.
It's so boring.
Yeah, it's boring. It's repetitive. It doesn't... I've tried it. I've tried really hard, and I've tried... I can do long distances now, but I've never hit that bit that people say happens where you're suddenly in a slightly different state. Not like a crazy alternate universe, but you know people go, oh, it's shit for 10 minutes, and then after 10 minutes... I'm just can think about other things. I'm constantly just thinking, I hate running. I hate the impact of my feet hitting the floor. I hate my boobs going up and down and smacking back into my rib cage and making my breathing go. I just hate it. I hate the whole thing. But I like lifting. I do a lot of weights. I like lifting. I like the cross trainer to get that running action without the impact.
Do you like your gym?
Yeah, it's superhero themed, which I don't really...
What the fuck?
It's round here, a live gym on Castle... Is it Castle Street or Stone Street? Just down the road from here.
Oh, wow.
Secret location. it's great. It's only 20 quid a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Superhero themed.
Yeah, nice. It's called Alive, and then it's just got cut... Like, all the wallpaper is just pages of comic books, like, stuck to the wall. What I really like about it is most people there are recuperating from something. So it's like there's one guy who's got a prosthetic limb, and it really makes me think, fuck yeah, if you can do it, I can do it. Like, there's no excuse, and he's really cool. And there's loads of people like that that I just think, yes, all right, I'm gonna work much harder because nobody there is, like, stacked. Everybody, or if you are super muscly, they tend to be like, it's an older person that's still super muscly or something. There's none of that, like, I'm 22 and this just happened overnight. It's all people that are like grinding out a normal body on this, and it's brilliant. I love it.
There's like, I had a similar thing where you look at someone who's got a much harder deal than you. I was telling you I did that customer research thing. Which, for the sake of the podcast, I was asked about trains by Network Rail with, like, three other people. We were, like, the passengers. We had to, like, say how they could improve it or whatever. But one of the people there was this guy who was blind, and obviously my things were like, you know, the waiting rooms are depressing. Why are they so fucking depressing? And he was like, I can't see. And just like then I was like, oh, you have a. Yeah, it made me feel bad about my little criticisms, because he was just like, you know, it's really nice to know which way the door opens, because otherwise I'm fucked, you know.
Mm.
Whereas I was like, I had no. I was
it's
lazy.
It's really hard though to keep in mind if your body can see. Like I had this before I went to Edinburgh. You had to tick this box to say like, is your venue wheelchair accessible? Is your show suitable for people with vision impairment and all this stuff? And I've got a mate who's blind who'd come to see my show last year. And so I just dropped a message and I was like, did you find my stand-up okay? Like, do I do loads of actions and stuff that I'm not thinking about? And he was like, Laura, your final punchline that wrapped up the whole show was written down on a piece of paper and showed the audience. No, it's not blind suitable. And I was like, oh, fuck, I hadn't even thought about that. And I was just like, how small-minded you can get. Which I don't think, you know, you can take that into account and change, but I don't think it makes you a fundamentally bad person.
Yeah,
you do just suddenly go, shit, yeah, oh my God, all these things that I've never taken into account. God almighty.
There's a guy, so I just do like open mic comedy, and there's a guy in London who's an open mic comic, and he's completely blind. Like, he has a stick and everything, but he is really blind, because when he goes up on stage, I don't think he can even make out the shapes, because someone has to always kind of point him in the direction of the audience. And that has always made me realise, like, oh my God, I've just never even thought of like how much easier it is.
Yeah.
And then he was just, I walked him back to the station one time, and I was kind of just walking along with him, and he had his arm sort of in my arm, and I was just like walking along and then didn't think to be like, oh, there's a traffic light and stuff like that. And I was like, fuck, like,
yeah.
Just don't even think.
Yeah, me and my friend met a blind guy at the Warren during the last Fringe, and we were having a drink, and it was all really fun, and he was a really sweet guy. He ended up coming to my show, and then we came, so basically his girlfriend said, she's really used to it, so she was like, right, I'm leaving, see you guys later. So we were like, okay, cool. And then I started getting really worried. He's like, you don't walk through town home. We ended up coming back here, because I was like, I don't want to leave, just set you free, maybe you can get a cab or something. And he was like, he was like fuck it, I do it all the time. So some people are really he knows what he's doing. I was just like, shit, are we leaving this guy in the, you know.
It's
you always have that
you
nightmare,
you define the line, don't you, between being ignorant and being patronising.
Yeah, you
know,
exactly.
Like, you know what you can do, and cool, I've now learned that. Or, you know, but you're like, am I rude for not asking, or am I rude for assuming you might need my help? I think, yeah, it's fascinating.
With the exercise thing, the thing I find really difficult with it is, because you're saying you have a personal trainer now. So
You have a personal trainer at the gym?
Yeah.
You said that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. Swish.
One of us is the intern.
Do you hate him?
Her.
Do you
women
hate
can
him?
Be personal trainers.
You're on fire.
I'm trying to myself up. Shit.
When I've tried it, I go to the gym by myself, but I find it a massive kind of, I don't motivate myself.
Mm.
And do you prefer exercising by yourself or with the personal trainer? Or
I like seeing my trainer because, one, it means I definitely go every week because I've got an appointment with somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no way I can wake up and go, I don't feel like it today. It's like, no, you're going, you've done this.
Yeah.
And two, she's just taught me so many different exercises because I don't like running, and I find, like, I don't know how to use the machines. I don't know how to use the free weights, or I didn't. And now, like, nearly two years into seeing a trainer every week, I could now happily walk into any gym and construct myself a couple of circuits that would work my whole body without having to run.
Mm.
And I think that's kind of cool. And then because she also knows when I need to go up a weight, so I have no idea how many reps I'm supposed to be able to do.
Yeah.
At what level, and whereas she'll go, that's looking a bit easy and a bit comfortable, let's try a heavier weight. Whereas I don't know if I'm overstraining and going to hurt myself, and she's kind of helped me get a much better sense of what exercise can be, which is really cool.
And I think that's where I keep injuring myself, is where I've been let loose by myself and
In the weight room.
Well, that's how I got the three hernias, probably.
Yeah.
But it's hard with weights, because, like, there's all sorts of things. Like, since I started working on my core, like, I used to have really terrible knees. I had really bad knee problems. Mm. So for quite a while, we didn't do any leg stuff, because my knees, just bending them, like squats and stuff, would be really difficult. And then I got different trainers, and I got a car that had cruise control, so that when I'm on the motorway, my right knee isn't constantly on the accelerator and flexing. Yeah. And my knee problems have completely gone.
Oh, wow.
Like, completely. So now we can do other things. And then she said, like, part of that is that we did, like, really gentle exercises on your thighs and calves, so that the muscles holding your knee straight are stronger now. So where I would have just avoided my knees completely because I was like, oh, I don't want to hurt them. She was like, okay, well, we'll do this and it won't hurt your knee. But, and then anything that we do, if I don't like it, she goes, all right, then we won't do that one. Mm. Here's a different exercise that does the same thing, but you might like this one. So then you get out of that thing of hating any of it. You're like, oh, I like this one's fun. Or you go, like, I really hate any ones where my head changes height. So anything like burpees or, like, stuff where I've got to go up and down, they make me really sick. I feel really queasy when my head changes level. So we just cut them all out. She's like, all right, this one's the same muscles, same stuff, but it one you'll like. And that's really nice, I think.
And burpees are
one of my God, they're hideous.
See, one of the worst I don't know what they are.
Oh, so you stand up and then you go squat down to the floor and sort of jump out with your hands, and then you sort of
like into a press up position.
Back out.
Yeah,
that's what your feet. It's horrible.
Fucking horrible. Even the description. My girlfriend
they
has
were,
to do them all the time.
They were invented in the army.
Oh, they're horrible. Yeah.
They were invented in the army.
Yeah,
I don't think regular civilians should be attempting them.
You know when you say a thing that you've heard from someone, but you have no evidence to back it up or any further context, then please feel free to correct me on that, listeners.
I had, because Alice does all these ones called body pump and body smash and shit. And then she goes with her friend. And then when she comes back, I don't think I've ever seen, she's like, it's like, oh, you just literally can't move now for 24 hours.
Yeah.
Apparently it's like really intense. She went to one the other day and it was just like up the step, down the, then the burpee thing. And I just was fuck that. I'll stick to injuring myself.
Some people leave the gym looking so immaculate. And as soon as I step in there, I'm like, my cheeks immediately go red and I've just looked at a machine.
Yeah. The other nice thing with a trainer is it's like, it's the 1 hour a week where I can wander in and switch my brain off for an entire hour. Because like being self-employed and like, you know, very independent, like most of my life is on my own, so everything is my responsibility. And just for an hour, I get in there and I'm like, point to me at a thing and tell me how many times to pick it up and put it back down again. And I don't have to think about what's coming next or what weight we're doing. She just goes, pick that up and put it down 10 times. I'm like, okay. And that's it. That's all I have to think about for an hour. It's the best like zen mind space I get into. It's great.
I do like it's like a class with a personal trainer. It's about 10 to 15 of us, but they do this that she obviously she shows like how everyone's doing and the thing, so she does every class, she'll do like a pan of the class doing the exercises and it goes on Instagram, and every time I see it on Instagram, like I'm the really tragic looking. There's one where it's like we're doing it in partner exercises, there's one where you have to do like a sit up with a medicine ball then pass it to your partner. I felt so sorry for the guy that got stuck with me. I was holding him back so much.
That was, well, secretly he would have been relieved because he was like,
he was getting a lot of rest time.
Yeah.
A lot of unauthorized rest time. I'm trying to get fit at the moment because I've got to a stage now where when I do up my shoelaces, I can't breathe.
Yeah. See, my trainer's really anti anything about body image. She's not interested in like, I'm not allowed to have like a weight that we're aiming for or anything. And we don't do anything about looking different. It's all about strength training and what I can pick up and stuff. So that's quite nice as well, because I'm like 50 times fitter than I was when I started doing it, and my body's changed shape naturally because of that. But I'm still quite body fat, like I'm quite a naturally fatty person. So but that's quite interesting, I think, learning that now I could run a half marathon and I can lift like five times what I could lift, but I still look like I don't go to the gym at all.
Yeah.
I think that's quite interesting to go, oh, it wasn't me being a lazy cow, this is my body type. I'm just quite a roundy, fluffy person.
Well, that's the thing as well. I think I'm accepting that this is my shape, but I just want to, like, when this podcast is hosted on up quite a lot of stairs, and I want to be able to
67.
Be able to,
Just in case you're...
I just want to be able to talk to my friends within the 5 minutes following those stairs, rather than sit down and look like I'm in debt. I ran for a train the other day, and as soon as I got on the train, I only ran for about a minute, and as soon as I got on the train, two people had to ask me if I was okay.
Yeah, things like this. Like, I'm sitting in a chair, and then I can just go like this and use my core muscles.
Yeah.
I don't have to make that. Noise. And I don't have to put my hands on the table and lift myself. I can just go, hey, stomach, engage. And I've got stomach muscles now. That's like, whoa, I never had that 2 years ago.
I'm 100% still in the noise making stage.
Yeah. It's great though. You don't feel it. Like, I just had 2 months off training because I've been in Edinburgh and then abroad doing various things. And so I'd had 2 months between training sessions, and I went back on Monday and had my first training session. And Tuesday, I could not believe how tight my thighs were. I couldn't move. Like, I was trying to squat down and just like completely bend my knee, and I was like, I feel like a cartoon because of how much it hurt. I can believe it.
It's amazing how like how quickly it can go. Like, yeah. Unless you're regularly doing something, how quickly it can just disappear.
Well, the strength was still there, but the muscles were definitely like, oh, what are you doing? We're back to this again now, guys. Come on.
Well, what helps me up the 67 stairs is sometimes there's drug addicts at the bottom of them, so that will put a spring in your step at 12:30 at night. But they're not anymore. Great news, everyone. I don't know whether I've spoken about this before, but we had a real problem with loads of people doing a lot of stuff at the bottom of the stairs outside. But now the builders are there. And it's been the first time in my life where I'm like, yeah, fucking hell, the builders are back. Great. Like, literally. They're so... I was like, the other day, I was like, hey, be careful because they leave needles down there. And he was like, not anymore. And I was like, I love you. But, yeah, no, it's pretty sketchy sometimes, like 12:30 at night. Because, you know, it is an alleyway. But, yeah, that helps me. And that, and obviously my my great physique. I think my calves have improved. If you do it every day... Because sometimes, you know, on a busy Saturday, I'll do it 3 or 4
times. Stairs are hard.
Stairs are hard. Thanks, Alex.
I struggle with stairs, evidently, as of today.
The thing that gets me about marathons is a couple of my friends have done them, and it's, you know, the people cheering on the sidelines. I don't think that would help me. I think I'd get annoyed with them. Because it's like, come on, you can do it. And you'd be like, I've literally just ran 20 miles. Give me a break.
Maybe you could view it as you're running away from them.
Yes. Yeah, that's... I mean, I'll never do it. I was actually with my friend at a marathon, and she said, Joe, never even attempt this. You'll have a heart attack. So I just don't...
I just don't see why you... It just seems such an unnatural thing to want to be able to do. Yeah. And to dedicate, like, a year of your life to learning. It's just no interest.
I don't know if you... Actually, again, I'm about to say a fact, and then I was like, is it Greek mythology, or is it actually real? There's a marathon guy that ran it.
Greek mythology,
is it, so it's not real?
No, that is, I think it is. Yeah, well, it was.
So marathon, the guy that ran, so he had to deliver a message from one part of Greece to another part, so that's why it's that specific length.
Yeah, okay.
He died.
Doing
like the very first, like, he ran and delivered the message and then died. Because the human body's not meant to run that
far. So everyone thought, we'll do that. It's like me and Alice were watching a documentary about mountain climbers the other day, and it was one of those ones where it was obviously really bad weather, and it was like blowing into their face, and they had loads of shit on, and they were like just very slowly climbing up this mountain. She was like, are they having fun? Is this something that could be...
I don't know. I went to the Highlands recently, and it was absolutely stunning, and we went past Ben Nevis, and... I just don't think I'd make it to the top, especially with my cardio at the moment.
Well, people die on fucking
Ben Nevis.
Yeah,
Ben,
I think
Nevis.
It was. Hang on, I might be lying. I'm sure there's something about that. I don't have the facilities like you. I'm just making it up.
We do a lot of unproven facts on this podcast.
I think there was a couple of people who, because it was bad weather. Always the bad weather.
Yeah.
Just don't climb the mountain. Just chill out.
Laura looks very sceptical of your fact.
I don't think it would be that hard, because you could die on a moor with bad weather if hypothermia kicks in and you lose sight. So yeah, I think you'd be... I'm going to look up how many people die on Ben Nevis.
Do you know what? I'm excited about the outcome of this, because I reckon, I'm sure it was Ben Nevis.
Well, there's lots of... I was talking to someone who's... he was looking into becoming a mountain rescuer. There are certain mountains in the UK. Well, I say mountains.
Snowdonia.
Yeah, like if you go up it the wrong, if you come back down it the wrong way, it's like...
Yeah, definitely. And if there's fog in Scotland, you know, there would be. But when I was in South America, and while I was there, I did do quite a bit of walking and hiking, but not like the massive like mountains or anything like that. But someone would say, because they have, it's quite high altitude in those countries, and altitude obviously makes your body act a bit funny and makes you a bit sick. And
drives you a bit mad, doesn't it?
Several deaths annually. Sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah, I'm going to take that as a win.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Shouldn't be up there. So I, how high is it? Actually, we should be finding. I'm not even going to know. Fuck it. How big is it, Alex, to look at? Pretty big.
I'll let Jade finish her story, then I'll Google that.
I was just going to say that someone told me when they hiked up this mountain in Peru, because of the altitude, they shit themselves, and they just think, okay, nothing like major happened to them, but I don't want to do something where I could end up shitting myself. Like,
yeah.
How is that fast?
Well, if you've gone so high you've shit yourself, that's your body saying, don't do
that.
Don't
go that high.
Well, that's what my football manager, because I told him I've like done a third injury, and like he's like, Alex, I think this is your body telling
your
you're not meant
to. Your football manager. You're on a football
the
team.
The guy that set up the WhatsApp group.
And they're going,
admin. The most responsible of the players.
Because you were at a friendly. What's your football team called?
Oh, that was a. So that was a.
That was another football team.
That was a six
God,
aside
team. Who the fuck
are you? I play for a team.
When you say you hurt your ankle playing football, do you mean you hurt your thumb playing FIFA?
Yeah. I hurt my thumb so badly it ricocheted down to my ankle.
My manager, Jose Mourinho.
No, I just fired because he wasn't as good as me.
I'm a real footballer.
As long as the football pitch is not up or down any stairs.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I play for a six-a-side team in the week and then a
cool.
Sunday league team. Well, they're called Actuarial Madrid because I play for a team of because I play for a team of actuaries in a financial service company.
Are you their ringer?
They've drafted me in, yes.
From water,
apparently that not many.
So
not
how that. Injured are the rest of the team if you're the one well, they've drafted in?
I think there's only like five actuaries. So they just need
right.
filler. I'm filler. Yeah.
I think ringer is more flattering.
What position are you, Alex?
On the floor, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Substitute.
Amazing.
Striker.
Are you?
Yeah.
Ooh. What a surprising day.
I'm an athlete.
There's depths on Ben Nevis. You are an athlete.
You were in goal the other day, though.
Yeah, so that's so basically that's what happened when I injured my
that's
knee.
That's how far away
you
can
stretch.
That's a bit of both. Striker and goalie. Very powerful.
They were, not Alex, he's our talisman. it's
so,
so
I injured,
horrible. That we're
I injured my knee because I went in goal and I stopped a shot with my bad ankle and then it twisted my knee.
Right.
Yeah.
So you weren't even kicking it, the ball was kicking
you?
No,
the ball came at me. And I put my leg in, my ankle in the way of it, and it just, yeah, ricocheted up my body.
Oh, babe. That's not
yeah.
fair.
And then I told my manager for the Sunday league team afterwards, he was like, I think that's your body saying, stop.
Really? A shock to us all. No, don't worry about it, Alex. We'll manage without you.
The manager of the team once said to me that my best ability was my availability.
Oh. another fantastic story.
And for more anecdotes.
Oh, that was great. So I've got no hobbies really. Comedy, that's it. I'm not a team player.
You
though.
Tried to organise football once.
I did try and organise it once, and it was so stressful. Like, I get
only
that.
Alex was available.
Only Alex was available. So well, fuck it.
He just saw me hobbling across the bar. Like, fuck it, it's not worth it. I think it's time for our lovely feature,
lovely.
Which is called Plots That About.
Plots That About. That's a plot.
So, this is Plots That About. So, I will give you and Joe a different film title each. And these are real film titles. And then you have to make up what you think the film is about.
Okay.
Embellishing as much as you feel free and actors and stuff.
Okay.
And then at the end, I will reveal what the real films are. But of your two plots, Jade will decide which of those two films she'd most like to see.
Okay. Can we ask Jade any questions about her preference before we start?
It's never been done, but go for it.
Jade, if you had to choose between Bridget Jones's Diary and The Day After Tomorrow, which would you choose?
Oh, Bridget Jones's Diary.
Okay, that's all I need to know.
Joe's done this game 15 times and he's never thought to ask that. And you'll see just from his attempt, you will see what we're dealing with. Okay, oh, he's feeling con.
To be fair, the only time Joe won was when he played it against Alex. So.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Did you hurt yourself playing?
I
hit you in the ankle.
I sprained my larynx.
You very much fired my film at him.
There was a strong gust of wind and I fell off my chair. Okay, Joe, your film is Free Birds.
Free Birds.
Have you ever seen the real film?
No.
Good.
Okay. So, Free Birds is a disaster movie, Jade. it's a disaster movie set in a small Spanish town. Changed. Because the disaster basically what happens is it's by a big river. Not the biggest river, but sort of medium-sized river. And there's a tsunami that's starting.
In a river?
Yes.
That famous sea tornado.
Yes. And the main character is called Nigel. And he's played by my old lodger, Iago, who's Spanish.
Okay.
How is Nigel pronounced in Spain?
Nigel.
Nice.
So basically, Nigel is... He is the town... You know how everyone has, like... There's always a guy who predicts everything in a disaster movie. So he's that guy. So he works on the river, sort of collecting samples and, like, putting them in his little sample pot. And then he sees that there's a storm ready to hit the coast of Spain, and he goes, oh my god, the impact is gonna, you know, destroy the whole town. So then he gets everyone in a town meeting, and the mayor hates him. The mayor is played by Judi Dench, and she says that he's a quack, but what's the like another a crazy scientist.
Okay.
I want to find it. He's talking shit, basically. She's like, you're talking. She's like, you're talking shit. And because they've got the big summer festival coming up, and she doesn't want to ruin it. It's kind of like Jaws in that way.
Okay.
She wants people out on the beaches or the side of the river banks, you know, having, you know, drinks and getting fucked up, and she doesn't care. And he's saying, no, honestly, it's all going to happen. And they ignore him. And then what they do is they go on with the summer festival, and unfortunately he's fucked up his calculations, and it doesn't happen. And that's
the disaster doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. No, it does happen. It's much smaller than they think.
It's like a wave.
And then the summer festival happens, and they all have a great time. And he says that he learns from that he shouldn't take things too seriously, and learns to chill out a bit. The end.
Free Birds. What did it have to do with Free Birds?
Ages ago I was criticised for the title being crowbarred too heavily into the plot. So now I'm just not fucking doing it anymore.
Fair enough. Okay, that was Free Birds, Laura.
Gosh, yes, I zoned out for long periods. Don't listen to that if you're going to drive on a motorbike.
Okay, Laura, your film is The Nut Job.
Oh, okay. This is a film about a squirrel. And the squirrel has to break into the squirrel bank, and because the squirrel is in loads of gambling debt. with a local crow that's been really... It's an animated film, by the way. And the squirrel is in debt to the crow, and the crow is, like, threatening to peck out the squirrel's kid's eyeballs and stuff. So the squirrel comes up with a heist to rob the squirrel bank, which is at the top of the tallest oak tree in the middle of the forest. And that's where they store... All the squirrels deposit their nuts for the winter. Instead of burying them in this universe, they all go into this massive bank, which is really cool and elaborate. And the squirrel comes up with a plot to take down the bank. But just as the squirrel is about to reveal the plans with the big, like, Ocean's 13, but with, like, forest creatures, that kind of thing, is what we're going with here. The 13 of them that are going to do the heist realize that loggers from the local town are planning to cut down the bank tree. So just at the last minute, you think it's going to be a bank heist movie, and then suddenly this team that have assembled to rob the bank and save the squirrel, they have a change of heart and they realize that they have to save the community, so they have to take down the loggers instead. So they all band together and take down the loggers, and then as a thank you for saving the town, the mayor pays off the squirrel's gambling debts.
Nice.
I think you can tell which one of us is a professional MC.
who voices the main squirrel?
Anna Kendrick.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And the crow?
The crow is Dennis Hopper.
Yeah. Mm. Solid.
Mm. Nice. Wow.
Okay.
So, well, Free Birds. I like how when Laura asked me what I would prefer, Bridget Jones's Diary or Day After Tomorrow, you thought, oh, she didn't go for Day After Tomorrow, so I'll pick a disaster movie.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it was good. It was interesting to a point, and then I did... Zone out slightly as well. I am sorry, Joe. But
it's not a good sign, is it?
But I did like the fact that Judy Dench was...
I think it would do well at the film festivals because not that much happens in it.
Yeah, exactly. It would do really well at like Cannes.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll take that.
That's better than my opinion.
Sundance. No? Okay.
Is that novel?
Yeah, sort of. I don't know. Is it the same one? Anyway, fuck it,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's alright. And then, Nut Job. I liked how you were sort of bringing Guy Ritchie-style films to kids.
Thanks.
Like that, you know, open their minds. So, I'm going to go for the Nut Job. I mean, I think I was clearly more interested
this
in that
one. This
is
bullshit.
Was it ever in any doubt? Right, so the real films.
Oh, can I... Is Free Birds that one about the turkeys that escape from Thanksgiving?
Yes, it is. It's about two turkeys that travel back in time to get turkey off the Thanksgiving menu.
Really?
Mm.
They've managed it, I think. No one has a turkey anymore.
We don't have Thanksgiving, darling.
Fair enough.
So
we're doing this house.
They succeeded in England.
All they've got left to do is America.
But that's for another time, kids. Now, The Nut Job. Have you ever seen this film?
No.
Because that is pretty much...
What?
That is almost bang on. Like, bang on.
No.
Like, to the point of, like, a bank heist.
No, really?
Okay, so... It's about a squirrel that gets... It's about a squirrel that gets kicked out of his community because he loses all the nuts. And then he finds a nut shop and he's going to raid the nut shop. But the nut shop isn't a nut shop. It's like a ruse from some mobsters who want to rob the bank next door. So it isn't a real nut shop. And that is The Nut Job.
Really?
Maybe I should go into kids.
That is the closest anyone's ever actually...
Oh, I feel dead proud of myself. So, well, comedy for adults.
So, congratulations, Laura.
That is insane.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Well, hey!
Hey! Thanks for coming, everybody. I'm cleverer when I'm not trying.
That is nuts. Brilliant.
Right.
That's how we should end every podcast.
Let's do more of those. That was fun.
I've actually got... Do you know what?
I want to hear more of Joe's ideas.
Well, I do have...
I think everybody does.
I did have a stack of films.
Actually, maybe I should give up while I'm good. The second one might be absolute dog shit. Like,
should we hear the names of the films and then decide whether we want to... And then you can decide whether we both are going to...
Yeah. Do you want to do another one?
I mean, I can...
Now you're warmed
up. I can run all night. No,
this is unprecedented behaviour.
Let's go best of three.
I just want to do the. I just want to do.
See. Well, you say best of three. I've only got two more written. No, I've got. No,
if
no.
Only there was a way we could find out more film titles.
Yeah, and also, how are we going to know who's going to win?
Okay, I've got. Okay, you. We've got Wonder Park. We've got Poms. Who wants what film?
Oh, I think we both want Wonder Park.
You can have Wonder Park. I'll do Poms.
Okay,
sure.
Okay. It's never happened before, but let's go for it. Joe, Wonder Park.
Wonder Park. This is where people switch off. I can literally feel them switching off now.
Make a cup of tea.
Wonder Park is... it's a council estate in East London. Because they've all got nice names. And then it all sort of turned to shit. It's about a drugs gang who... are supplying crack to the
God,
people.
God, I've switched off already. You're saying interesting stuff, but it's like I can't concentrate on it. It's like a magic eye puzzle.
I have
for
three
your
stars.
Ears.
I do get that problem quite a lot.
Right, start again. Hang on. It's a drugs cartel.
In East London council estate called Wonder Park. And the main gangsters, there's two rival gangsters, and they are fighting each other.
Shit.
Yeah, it's really bad. And
I love that you're now saying words to show that you're engaged.
But then they realise that the council, like, so bloody typical. People are selling off all their flats and gradually they're being converted into lofts, and the drug dealers decide that they don't want this to happen, so then they buy all the flats. And then there's at the end they've realised that they actually just want to sell loads of crack, and they have a big gang war, and then the whole place sort of gets destroyed.
So it's like a gang warfare film, but with a bit of Holmes Under the Hammer in the middle. And then back to gang warfare.
I've watched quite a lot of Top Boy today.
Is Dion Dublin in it?
Dion Dublin is not in it, but I tell you who could be in it, Robbie Fowler, because
okay.
He is in property now. So I think we've all learned something. But I've learned from my 5 hours of Top Boy today that there are nay winners in the drug game. So over to you, Laura.
Right. I liked it.
Thanks.
I would watch half of that. Poms. So Poms is a kind of obscure, offbeat comedy. Think Wes Anderson, Woody Allen, but without the sexual bleach. That kind of a vibe. And the idea of Poms is a load of upper class, aristocratic, rich English men have discovered that they would massively financially benefit if the French aristocracy was reinstated. So they have this scheme. They find the living descendants of the last French king or queen, I can't remember who it was, before the revolution, and they find their descendants and they come up with a scheme to get the crown back, and they're trying to whip up support from the French people to have an aristocracy again. And it's a sort of offbeat comedy of like this rural French community thinking the Poms, which is like what they call the British people, are absolutely mad for doing.
Nice. Can I be the first to say sacré bleu?
Jade, over to you.
Oh, I mean, this one is quite hard because, Joe, I always like kind of a gritty drama, don't you?
Definitely.
In a council estate and things like that. So, that was really good. I thought they were going to change their ways and they didn't.
No, they didn't because they never do.
No. Once crack's involved, you just can't. I do like Wes Anderson, though. And that was really good. I don't know, it's hard. What would you go for, Alex?
I like French aristocracy films.
You can't even say it.
I pulled my tongue. I love words that I can't say.
Poms.
Poms.
Yeah!
It's a clean sweep. It's a clean sweep.
Sorry,
bollocks.
It was tight. It was tight, that one.
If it's any consolation, it was closer.
Thanks.
And if it's any consolation, it's literally just down to my subjective view of what I prefer.
And if it's any consolation, we literally can't have you win ever.
No,
that's fine. Well, now my win feels mean. Tell me some stuff that makes me happy.
I would watch both your films in the cinema.
Thank you.
What were they really about, Alex?
Okay, so...
Smooth.
So, let's hear what they're really about.
Right. Wonder Park is about a girl who has a dream about a theme park, and then she wakes up and it's come to life, and all the staff are animals.
Similar.
Oh, is that why we come out, that one?
Yeah, that was 2019.
Yeah, I've seen a trailer.
And Poms, Laurie, you've done it again. French aristocracy thriller. No, it's about a cheerleading squad in a retirement home.
Oh,
that's cute. Yeah, Poms.
Like
that was the other
thing.
Because I initially thought of Poms like what French or Aussies call. Yeah, have I got that wrong? Do the French call us Poms or is it Aussies? It's
yeah.
not Aussies,
oh,
isn't
no,
it?
Yeah, French, I think, call us roast beef, yeah.
Yeah.
Or cunts. Or what's the French?
Or that.
That's
yeah.
a shame. Maybe you should give Joe the point then, because I fundamentally...
On a technicality.
I'll take it.
Do I call it a draw? Because then you haven't won one.
I still haven't won.
I don't feel like I can take that. I got it wrong.
No. I mean,
the Australians have never had an aristocracy to reinstate.
No, they haven't. Why? What? Oh.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Those terrible things. Fun.
What's that about?
Well, I think that I am going to take my loser hat off Alex's head and put it on my head because I have lost.
I love how you've done a visual gag on a podcast.
Oh, it wasn't necessarily a gag. That's the problem.
He's taken my hat, literally.
Yeah. I've taken your hat. I will now put it back on because it feels weird on my head.
Might be because it's sweaty from doing 64 steps.
No,
it might be sweaty from sitting down. I have not moved in about half an hour and I am burning up.
Yeah.
I really like your lampshade, but it looks like loads of boobs.
Doesn't it just?
It really does.
I think you've hit the nail on the head as to why it's there. No,
is it meant to be boobs?
No, well, I have never actually noticed that, but yes, it does actually.
It just looks like piles and piles of tits.
It
really does.
It's great, actually.
Well, upload a photo of that.
Oh, yeah, go for it if you want. I mean, I'm actually sweating because I'm quite nervous because the other day when we were back here, I was pretending to... We were listening to The Prodigy for the first time in ages, and I was pretending to smash the place up and was quite aggressive with this chair, and now I'm worried about it collapsing, so I'm quite sweaty.
Did you actually smash the chair?
I smashed that one. That's why we're not using it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that literally comes apart.
Massive crack down the middle.
Hey, don't blame me. Blame The Prodigy. Yeah, it is a massive crack down the middle. Yeah. That wasn't me, though. That was already there.
Wow.
But the rest of it sort of folds apart. Like, I could just throw it out, but I haven't done. That's why you've got that comfy chair with this cushion.
Yeah,
you know, everyone's a winner.
Like, I didn't realise that mine was the only one. Sorry, guys. I took the comfy chair.
You deserve it.
Exactly. So, anything else in here you want to...
It's a lovely flat.
Thanks.
It's really lovely.
Thanks.
Finished to a great spec.
Thank you very much. That was Alice. I can take no credit for that. But yes, thank you. More boob-related furniture is what I'm going to buy.
You should. It's really nice. I like it. Mm. I like the copper and the inside of bronze. What is it? Gold?
Yeah, sort of tacky.
No, it's not tacky at all. It's very, very tasteful.
Thank you very much.
It's lovely.
What a lovely flat.
Who doesn't love a tit?
Oh, who doesn't love a tit?
Did you just point at me?
No. I did no such thing.
Oh, dear.
But you've got an exciting night now, Laurie. You're off.
I'm off to a gig.
And,
is that an exciting night? That's just every night. I'm so bored. No, I'm not. I love comedy.
It is nice when you have a break, though.
Yes.
You went away recently, didn't you?
Yeah, I went on holiday, and it was great.
Where'd you go?
France. Yeah, I had a really odd, because I was in Edinburgh for a month doing the Edinburgh Festival, which is just one of the most draining things you can do without having actual problems in your life. And and then I went straight from Edinburgh to this Swedish festival that was the other end of the scale. So Edinburgh, you pay $8,000 for the privilege of performing to four people. It's all really hard. You have to grind every single thing out of it.
And then sort of this lovely Swedish festival got in touch and said, can you come and do this festival? We'll pay your flights, we'll pay your trains, we'll pay 5-star hotel, we'll do all the marketing, like you just have to turn up and do your show. So I like rocked up to that, right? Just had this amazing 3 days of being like, this is what I thought comedy would be. Yeah, moving to Sweden.
And you got there and it was all good.
It was amazing.
I would be so
yeah.
nervous about that, getting off the plane, like, oh, is there going
to
be...
Well, do you know what? The very first time I went overseas, I felt like that, because I'd been booked to go to, I think it was Slovakia, to do a gig. And I was there in the queue for the airport, and I was meant to be going out with another comic that I know quite well. He just wasn't in the queue for the aeroplane. And we'd like started boarding, and he still wasn't there. And I was thinking, like, at what point do I not get on the plane?
Yeah.
Because... the Daily Mail article is going to be like, this idiot thought she was being booked for comedy in Slovakia with her 9 months of experience. Like, who falls for that just before getting sold?
Now she works on a goat farm.
Exactly. But then he like rocked up, thankfully, like 2 minutes before the boarding closed. And I was like, oh, thank God, it is actually going to be a gig. But I was thinking, like, at what point do you call it? Just
well,
like,
also, there's, you know, it's sketchy, isn't it? Well, I listen to those horrible crime podcasts, and there's a lot of things like, come over and do this modelling job, and then it's not, it's
yeah.
murderers. So, but this wasn't.
But anyway, yeah, Sweden was great. Sweden was lovely. And then I went on holiday for 10 days, and we'd like picked a place to go on holiday where there wasn't really anything to do, so that we didn't feel like we had to make the most of it. You know, sometimes you go on holiday and you're like, well, we need to see all this stuff now we've come all this way.
Yeah.
Where we didn't really want to do anything. We just wanted to, like, swim
chill.
A bit, sunbathe a bit, read a bit. So by the end of it, we were so bored. It was perfect. Because we kind of got back and went like, right, I'm ready to do stuff again.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
Where in France was it?
Like, a couple of hours outside of Toulouse, okay. down in the south.
Toulouse is really nice.
Oh my God, I love Toulouse. Mm. So many board game shops in Toulouse. I could move there in a heartbeat.
I didn't notice that, but there's a lot of great pubs. But were you in a hotel or an Airbnb?
No, we were in a cabin in the woods.
Fucking hell,
nice.
Brilliant. Did
yeah.
you have your own pool?
No, it was like a campsite, but like, we weren't camping, we were in a cabin.
And
it was very secluded.
Oh, nice.
It was really nice, yeah. It was very rustic, like, it wasn't like a field that you just pitch up in, but it wasn't like a, welcome to the holiday camp, like, kids
yeah.
club and that stuff. It was kind of halfway in between, it was really good. And we were sort of camping, but in a lodge, you know, like that. You,
yeah,
that kind of. I don't.
It's like
yeah.
halfway. I know exactly what you mean. It's camping, but there's walls.
Yeah, it was a very basic lodge, and we were in that. But it was great. It was
you
so.
You can never underestimate the walls.
No.
You know.
Well, also, like, my husband's 6'3", so a tent is just absolutely uncomfortable for him to be in, because he's too long for any sleeping compartments and he's too tall to stand up
mm-hmm.
comfortably. So it's like, you don't want to spend 10
yeah.
days like
yeah.
stooping. Oh, I'm fine, I can wander around in, but yeah, I didn't really want to rough it.
I went camping the first time when I was about 7, and I thought, I don't like this, and I've been thousands of times since, and I just don't, it doesn't. We went to my friend's house in Devon. They've got like woods and stuff, so my friend was like, oh, we'll just camp in the woods. And it rained for 3 days, and the last day I just sort of knocked on his parents' door and was like, can I stay inside the house? And I was inside the house on a sofa, and I was just like, there's walls. I love walls.
Yeah,
I'm not a camper at all. Off to Valencia in a couple weekends time.
Oh,
sweet.
Valencia and Mallorca.
You're playing
be-
for them.
Kablamo.
Oh,
the new signing.
Man is a singer.
Can I say that? She's going to be on form. You'll earn your money tonight, Laura. Watch the fuck out.
They've seen my injury track record. That was literally the only thing holding me back.
Are you going with friends or?
Yes, I'm going with a friend.
A friend.
We're staying, staying in Valencia for 2 nights, and then Parma in Mallorca.
Are you watching
one night?
Are you watching football?
We are watching 2 football matches.
Stop it, Alex. Stop.
Well, I can't injure myself watching it.
Oh, I bet you could.
If anyone can.
Yeah, you could do anything.
I did actually injure myself once because there was a last minute goal, and then everyone started jumping over the rows of seats, and I got taken out.
Like a little skittle.
That's quite a nice nickname. I've been called a lot worse. Alex Little Skittle Petrovic. Yeah.
So your friend's got something wrong with them as well. They like
no, they're normal.
Oh, right, okay. But you're both liking football quite a lot.
Well, between us, we have an average amount of ailments per person.
Right, okay. And how many matches is that in how many days?
2 and 3 days.
That's fucking insane, isn't it?
Is that a lot?
I mean, not for you, but for a normal human being.
I did 4 and 3 days once. I'm a football
manager. I used to live in a flat. I used to live in a flat with a friend of his, and they would come out around on Saturday, and I'd just come down and open the door. And they'd go up into the living room, and from 12 o'clock till 7 o'clock, they'd just watch game after game after game. And I would go out and come back, and I'd always think, stop it, Alex. And I still think that, and I tell you every time.
I think I'm a fun guy sometimes.
And it's and because of the ailments, it is killing you, you know?
That sounds like a convention now, doesn't it?
I should write a film about it.
We've done 3 series to get to this point.
Yeah.
Taken on board. Taken on board. Joe, tell us.
I'm staying at my girlfriend's house for Christmas, and I am fine saying on the podcast that I'm not loving it.
Why not?
Because it's not your home, and I feel conscious that I'm going to be in someone else's house. Has anyone else had a Christmas away before?
I don't think I have, actually.
Yeah.
I had a Christmas in a hostel once.
All right, well, that's a real problem. That's much worse than what I've got.
Well, I mean, I was in Australia, so it wasn't exactly like I was like in the YMCA around the corner or anything. That was quite fun.
Were you with friends, or had you just moved to the hostel?
I have been in the hostel for a few months, so I have met people over the few months. But then a couple of years afterwards, I was in New Zealand, and my dad's family, who I hadn't actually met before, they're like his cousins and stuff, they invited me around, which was really nice, but in a way it was kind of worse because I was with a family that wasn't my family. Mm. Well, technically they are, but it wasn't like my family that I would normally be spending Christmas with. So you're around all these family like things, but you're just thinking, it's not quite how my family were doing. It wasn't quite the same.
Mm, yeah.
It was a hostel, no one's with their family, so that was fine.
Yeah.
I think that to me was worse.
Mm.
It was still nice. I don't think they'll listen, but if they do, thank you very much for inviting me round.
Are you a Christmas person, Laura?
Yes, but I much prefer Advent to Christmas. I like all the build-up and the films and the lights and that bit. When it gets to actual Christmas Day, I'm a bit like, yeah, sure.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you split, like, 1 year with your husband's family and 1 year with your...
Well, usually we do... His family, his mum is a nurse, so she tends to work Christmas Day, and then we do Christmas Day at his is the 27th, and it's the 25th at mine. So we normally do Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and then on the afternoon of Boxing Day, we drive over to his parents, and then that is Christmas Eve there.
Oh, nice.
And then we just do it all again. So we normally get two.
That works out really well, then.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, and it means, like, because his brother and his wife can go to her dad's for Christmas, and then we all just do it again. Mm. So, yeah, it works really well.
That's quite convenient. Cool.
Yeah, I am looking forward to it. I know it's going to be nice, but like you say, the family customs, I don't know what the deal is.
But what you'll find is, like you've done Christmas a lot of times, so you'll have one off and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then next year you'll be so enthusiastic for your family's Christmas because you missed a year.
Yeah.
Whereas the shine does start to come off it a bit.
Yeah, that is true.
Whereas if
now
you
I just eat
year,
loads of food and go to bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Much.
You'll be so up for that by next
year. Yeah.
I think you're right. I think I do prefer the build up.
I do massively.
I like to go to the pub on Christmas Eve.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, that is a good one.
But they stay in.
I quite like it when
I'm not gonna
pub be. Ticks over into midnight on the Christmas Eve and you're still in the pub.
Mm.
And then it's all festivities at midnight. And then
we do a nice December thing every year. Me and my mates, we get really dressed up and go to the Grand for cocktails.
Oh,
like,
I came to that
one. Like in full on ball gowns, and then we all just go and have cocktails just on a random evening in December. I like all those little traditions that we've built up.
That's cute.
Last year we did a bake-off on Christmas Eve, me, my two sisters and my brother. We all had to make a Christmas-themed bake, and then it got judged by all the non-bakers in the family.
Ooh.
That was quite fun.
Nice.
I made a good little lodge on a meringue snow garden with like a chocolate brownie lodge. I was really proud of that.
That's really good.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
A brownie lodge.
Yeah,
usually people go gingerbread, don't they?
Well, I don't like gingerbread, so that makes that
as in it. I imagine gingerbread would be easier, so
yeah, well,
it's
I think
more
gingerbread
skill.
Is quite sturdy, but with brownie you can just stack it like actual bricks. So
Oh, yeah.
A brownie brick. That sounds good.
There we go. There's my little lodge down there. Oh. That's my brother's chocky penny, which he just melted down like 20 bars of chocolate and made a penny. That's my sister's profiterole and macaron Christmas tree. And then my older sister's marble glaze cake
this
with
is in
reindeer.
Depth, isn't it?
And
I think my... This would not be the same in my family.
I could 100% not rally my family to do anything like that.
Yeah. Oh, yum.
We had a great time. I like introducing new things like that because my sisters have both got kids. So I think Christmas can get a bit, like for me, because I haven't had children, I can get a little bit miffed at that time of year because I just get a little bit like, oh God, I still feel like an 18-year-old and I'm mid-30s. So I quite like introducing new traditions to make sure it doesn't get too stale because otherwise, like, the people with kids, like, do their bit with the kids and then they all go to sleep and you go, oh, hang on a minute, there are grown-ups here too that we're looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, not that I want to be like, it's about me! But it's just nice to, like, add in different things to make sure it stays fresh.
Well, I used to go to my friends after my family Christmas, but I've just decided now I can't physically do it. I was walking up a hill into Whitehawk and having just had a Christmas dinner, and I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Just go to bed. But yeah, so it's important not to fit too much in, but yeah, I do like, yeah, I got... My mum's pretending she's fine with it, but actually she's going to be deeply scornful of me on the day. Well, you weren't here, were you? You're gone.
Does she know?
Huh?
Does she know?
Yeah, I had to get it out of the way really quickly. She said, now, but she'll be fine. Oh, it's fine. And then on the day, she's a fucking bastard. But yeah, no, it'll be fine. Plus, I'll be with Alice's mum, who likes a drink, so
nice.
Everyone's a winner.
We usually go to the pub on Christmas Day, actually.
Yeah.
From a little village, so we go to the local pub. Or if we go to visit my aunt, she also lives in a village, so we go to the pub. And I like that, just like get out of the house for a few days, for a few hours.
For a few days.
That is a good session.
But I spend that Christmas money.
And then it's New Year's Eve.
Oh, I wish that would be so much fun, just being in a pub for like a week. I'd like that.
Yeah, I love the pub.
Not New Year's Eve fun.
No.
I was work New Year's Eve.
Do you?
Yeah.
How's that?
It's fine. Because anybody that wants to get smashed hasn't booked a comedy show.
Right.
Yeah.
So you get left with the people that are also trying to hide from New Year's Eve like you are.
Yeah.
They've all gone, oh, let's go to that, and then it's...
Yeah.
Nice.
Did they do the countdown?
No, most of them are over by like 10 o'clock.
But...
don't tend to go up to midnight.
Yeah, that's so true. That's such a weird, fluky thing, isn't it? The people booking comedy for... I remember once I did Jongas on Halloween for the first time. And I was like, because I'd heard all the stories, and I was like, fucking hell, Jongas on Halloween, this is going to be terrible, but actually really nice. Cause
yeah,
no one,
it does tend to be. Like, comedy's always nerds anyway. Like, real comedy fans are just nerds. And then, yeah, it's just people hiding from...
Definitely.
Like it.
It's quite a good idea, really.
Yeah. Although,
opposite
actually,
Christmas
one of the
gigs.
Worst gigs of my existence was a New Year's Eve gig. So I've been booked to do half an hour at this little place. It was me and another comedian, and we got there. And there was like a full disco in situ in this place. And we were like, okay, where's the comedy happening? And they were like, they're on the dance floor. And I was like, what, where those 60 people are dancing? And they were like, yeah, we'll turn all the music off. And I was like, okay, where's everyone going to sit? Oh, no, there's no chairs.
Oh.
I was like, okay, hang on. So then it gets around to the time that this comedy's supposed to happen. And everybody's having a great party. And you're like, let's just not spoil it.
Yeah.
No, they switched off all the music. Turned on all the lights, everybody sort of stood there, and then they went, could you get off the dance floor, please? There's some comedy happening now. So everybody sort of disgruntledly shutters off and sort of standing in this awkward horseshoe around. So I'm like, okay, where's the mic and the lights? And they go, oh, you're using the DJ's mic.
Oh.
So you're sort of awkwardly on about a meter of mic lead, like,
no.
Stuck to the DJ booth, trying to do comedy, like, hello, everyone.
Oh,
and then just every now and again, someone would come back in from the smoking area, not really realizing what was happening, and just march across this empty dance floor, not noticing at all, because why would you think that a woman's wandered in? And, oh my God, it was awful.
So we've actually heard a few of those stories, but I don't think any of them have been that bad.
It was horrific.
Where was that?
I think it was in Salisbury or somewhere West Country, because I remember driving back down the A303 and seeing, as it turned midnight, and all the fireworks going off while I was on my own in my car, having just done the worst gig. And just thinking, like, I didn't even blame the audience, because I'd have been pissed if that happened to my comedy night. But the organisers are just going, you've got no idea
yeah.
about comedy
oh
at
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's when these people are booking comedy, but they literally just don't understand.
No.
I did. I think I was telling you about it before. I did this charity gig at the in a big venue, variety. They originally wanted me to do. So I was booked for 8 minutes, and they asked me to do 1 minute between every single act,
oh.
but not compare it. And I was like, I don't.
No,
that's not how.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not really going to work like that.
But not compare it.
No. There's going to be a compere who'd introduce me to come back on to do 1 minute and then leave.
That's a terrible idea.
Oh my God.
Mm. Even if you are a one-liner comic, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Let alone a storyteller.
It was, yeah.
With obvious punchlines.
I haggled them down to not do that, and then they had me following something really serious and heartfelt. I was like, that's not going to work either.
Oh, I remember doing that. I once, yeah, another gig in Birmingham. I think it was somewhere near Birmingham. And it was this charity for a veterans charity. And a guy was up there talking about how he'd lost his legs and his best friend in Afghanistan. And like the story about him recuperating when he was back in, they dropped him off in Birmingham. No, it must have been somewhere else. And then he said he was recuperating in Birmingham. And like this, and like videos, and like everybody's in tears. And then the guy running it goes up and thanks him heartily, puts the mic back in the stand and walks off. And then just nudges me and goes, "Now you?"
Ooh.
And I was like, "What? You couldn't have introduced me while you were up there and just got them clapping." So I walk on to total silence, and I'm just like, so I thought, I'm going to gamble with this. Like, okay, this is the only thing I can think to do to like break the tension. So I was like, oh my God, that is amazing. I can't believe everything you've been through. I can't believe you had to recuperate in Birmingham. And the guy pissed himself laughing, and I was like, oh, thank fuck that. I was like, this is bad. It's either I'm just going to make it awful, or this is the only way I can think of on my feet to pull it back. And then luckily it sort of, but gee, Maurice, you're just like, this is them thinking that like comedy's just unbreakable, and you're like, no, comedy's really delicate. It's
so fragile.
Oh,
I saw those things, like when those things happen, they're terrible. I'm seeing an increased level of going to gigs that are fine and having some of the comedians going, "Can you fucking believe this shit?" And you're like, "This is fine. This is not supposed to be happening." Because after like a load of those ones, you're like, fucking, like, you know, the pool table, people still on the pool table, the screens, the football's on. Everything's fucked. And then you get to some, and some people are like, "Can you believe he didn't introduce me with my, you know?" And it's like, no one gives a fuck about your shit character anyway. Die every time I see you. Do you know what I mean? But I've been getting loads of this, and it's like, you're not good enough to be complaining about this. So the one that I always think in my head, but I never say, is, "Where do you think you should be gigging? Because this is fine for you." Do you know what I mean? And it's always someone who just shouldn't be complaining anyway. Ooh. It's an MC and some comedians.
Yeah.
It's fine. In a room that's a separate room. Shut the fuck up.
That's
Can you believe they've got a radio mic? Roll with it.
Yeah.
I think I've talked about it on the podcast. Did a Halloween one once where they gave everyone... I was on first, and they gave everyone...
I was at that gig over in Hove.
No, this was literally just around the corner. They gave everyone a pumpkin to carve.
Oh, okay. He gave us each a costume. And was like, "Can you do your set in this Halloween costume?" And I think I'd just moved to Brighton, and so I was like checking out the open mic scene, and I was just like, "No, no, I won't do this." And then he sort of did it all as a ghost character, I think. Was emceeing the night, and I was like, you have to be a really good MC to suddenly take on a new character and MC it. And I don't think you're even a good open mic comedian.
Yeah, no.
And yet you're trying to do... Oh my God, it was incredible.
Oh,
I don't think he's still in the comedy scene.
No, he moved somewhere. I can't remember, but it was somewhere abroad.
Well, a lovely man if he's listening.
Yeah.
But my God, that night is like etched in my brain.
Not a good ghost.
Well, apparently not.
I think it was a ghost. It was a zombie or something. No, I think he had a sheet on. He literally had a sheet on.
Yeah, did he?
Definitely a ghost. Yeah.
That is fun, isn't it? Which takes out. Well, I still got the eye contact, I suppose, but takes out quite a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I take out quite a lot of all the things you need.
Yeah.
I once did a gig in a pub where there was a band playing at the same time as the comedy, and the where the comedy was and the music was separated by like a curtain.
We were
drowned out
completely. Yeah, yeah. I had a gig behind a curtain at the Edinburgh Festival, and I went back. I took my girlfriend back there. I was walking past the venue, and I said, "Come in, go in, have a look." And I was just like, I went and I was like, walked in, and I was like, "Oh yeah." And she was like, "What am I supposed to be looking at?" I was like, "Isn't it shit? It's fucking shit." I pointed out where the curtain was. It's obviously not there now, but that I remember there was the venue was so bad that we were. Standing outside flyering, and we just knew that there was undercover cops in this white transit van there every day because they were sitting so blatantly policemen, sitting in a transit van with the engine running with the cleanest high-vis jackets I've ever seen in my life. I was literally just like, there's no fucking way that you are not trying to get someone. Yeah, fun.
Ah, shit gigs. I think that brings us to the end of our episode tonight. Thank you very much to Joe.
Yeah, thanks.
Jade.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for coming. Laura.
Yeah,
thanks. Do you have anything you would like to plug for tonight?
No. Should I?
Yeah.
Oh.
Me. Well, if you want to.
Me. Can you just love me and worship me and adore me, please? I've probably got gigs coming up. Please fall in love with me via this podcast and follow me on all the social medias, and then just be a super fan, join my mailing list and invite me round. And let's just be best buddies. I love you. Bye.
That's my favourite plug ever.